This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We want to see you glorified, God. This is why you've placed it on this earth as well, Father, to glorify your name. And this afternoon, Father, we come over here. We came here in expectation. Father, we created the atmosphere over here. Just now you said to me, you're present over here, Father. It's such a privilege to know that you are with us in this hall over here, Father. Thank you, Father. We can come to you. Thank you, Father, that you come to us. We can meet over here, that we can experience your presence, that we can hear what you want to share with us today, Father. Father, I cut whatever it is what kept our mind busy earlier today or earlier this week. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that we only can focus on what you want to share with us today, Father. And there's also no place today for any unclean spirit over here. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no place for manifestation over here. You're not going to manifest anything over here this afternoon. Because we've got an appointment with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords, with the Creator of heaven and earth. We've got an appointment with you, Father, in Jesus' name. God spoke to three people during worship. What you've got to come and share over here.
God showed me a picture of a house with many rooms. It was on ground floor and there was no roof. And there was no garden. And I said to God, okay, what about it? What must I say? He says there's no protection. So there was a little furniture in the house, but it was open to the elements. So it could rain and it could the wind could blow and whatever. And as we choose to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the roofs comes up. And then it sheltered. And then the trees started to grow and there was a garden. And then I think, yes, Lord, we can plant a tree, but we cannot make it grow. You know, it's just God. And that there's so much for us when we accept His covering.
So while we were praise and worshiping, God showed me like this aisle and here in front, and it looked like a cross was just with petals of beautiful flowers. And I'm like, okay, what's up? And then He showed me that as soon as we worship, something was released, and these petals were flying all around us, and it just released this wonderful fragrance. And God just smiled, and He was like, He felt so pleased with us, because as soon as we just let go of ourselves and our human spirit, He enters in, and the smell and the fragrance and the blessings that comes with us is so much more than we can ever think of.
Maureen, I'm taking your word as the third one, but listen a little bit. God wants to speak to us today about God's presence and the changes in the atmosphere. When I read the Bible, the first part of the Bible, it's about Genesis. And Genesis 1, it's about the creation. And I got a little bit of a smile on my face, because what happened over there is that the first thing what God is creating is light. And I nearly want to say, if we go into a dark area and if we want to do something over there, we switch on the light. And I started, I could see the irony of it is that God is doing exactly the same, switching on the light, because He's going to work now over there. Sometimes I take something out of the bedroom in the morning early when Renee is still asleep and it's still dark, and then she says to me, but why don't you switch on the light? I said, no, I know where it is, I know how to get it, and then I'm sneaking out. But God switches on the light so that He can see where He's going to work. But then the part that I want to talk about And what I want to start with is the second day. The second day that God created the firmament, the expanse. And as part of the expanse is the atmosphere. It's the place where we can breathe. Genesis 1, 6 to 8 says, "And then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament, and it divided the waters which were under the firmament with the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so, and God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day." So God created there the place where the plants could grow, where the animals could live, and where we as human beings also could live. God created it. He was busy with that whole preparation process. And part of it is that second day he created the atmosphere, the air what we can breathe in. Nowadays it's got a little bit more CO2 at the time as what God created it, but further on it's more or less the same. Take a deep breath. God created it on the second day that we can breathe now. God has got a plan. He's not just a little bit of accident here and a little bit try over here. No, God has got a plan. He's got a plan for us. And we can breathe. And we've got two breaths. The one is a physical breath. That's the one which is keeping us alive. And God started as part of the creation. He also created Adam. Genesis 2 verses 7. "And the Lord formed the man of the dust of ground." So I'm made out of dust and I'm going to become dust again. "And breathed into his nostrils," into Adam's nostrils, "the breath of life." So he was breathing life into Adam, that Adam could start living over there. And a man became a living being. That first breath, what God breathed in Adam, it's actually the breath where life started, where we are still breathing from. It's that as a result of that first breath that God blew into Adam. And then the second breath is the spiritual breath. As God created any atmosphere around us that we can breathe, there's also a spiritual atmosphere around us where we can live. And that spiritual atmosphere, we can see a little bit about it when Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 20. And so Jesus said to them, then to the disciples, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also sent you." And when he said that, he breathed on them. So the same way that God breathed on Adam, Jesus was breathing onto the disciples and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And Jesus is actually showing them to his disciples that spiritual life, this is where they're going to start with. And by doing it, it's also that he was putting a stamp on it, that the disciples were qualified now. They could go out now and they could bring the gospel now to the places. And as a result of that normal breath and then the spiritual breath, we also have got a normal atmosphere and we've got a spiritual atmosphere. And then the physical atmosphere is where we can smell and where we can see and where we can hear and touch and taste. But the spiritual atmosphere we cannot see with the natural eye, but we can experience, and we cannot experience it with our natural senses, but we must be well aware of it, that it exists, that there is a spiritual atmosphere. And a spiritual atmosphere, this is where the battle is about our souls, where the devil is trying to steal whatever he can steal, where he is trying to get our lives. Because the enemy is trying. He's trying to steal whatever he wants to steal from us. But God has given us authority. In Luke 10 verses 19 it says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So we've got the authority. It's written over there in Luke. And then the part where I want to go to is Acts, which has been written by Luke as well. And it's Acts 16, verses 16 to 18. where we can read a little bit about how the enemy is trying to steal over there. Now it happened as we went to prayer, this is then Paul and Silas, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by fortune telling. And this girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way to salvation." And she did it for many days. So it must have been a little bit irritating for Paul and Silas, but then we see it as well then, yeah. As he did this for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned around and said to the spirit, that's now the spirit of divination, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the spirit, he came out that very hour. Paul was irritated. Paul was distressed. Paul was grieved because he knew something was wrong over there. And he acted accordingly. If we take a look at the description over there, the way that Paul acted and the way that Luke wrote it down, that both of them agreed on it, that girl was possessed by that spirit of divination. And then it says it came out that very hour. Now the word which has been used for hour over there is the Greek word hora. And the Greek word hora means it's instantly. It can mean a day of an hour. It can mean a day and it can mean a season. But if we take it over here, and those who've been with deliverance or know a little bit about deliverance know that if you give instructions, it's going. It goes directly. It hasn't got time to think about it or whatever. If you send it, it goes and then it's gone. But the interesting part on this verse comes from the spirit of divination, because the Greek word over there is puton. And it's coming from the name puto, which is the region where Delphi, where they were, where it is located. But Python is also a python. It's a snake. And the python was the serpent who was worshipped at Delphi, and it was a symbol of wisdom. And the inhabitants of Philippi, where Paul and Silas were at that time, they regarded that this lady now, who had that spirit of divination, that she was actually inspired by Apollo. But what a python is actually doing is, a python is stealing your breath. Because if we can just have a look at that picture, there were some other pictures as well, but I decided with the amount of ladies in the congregation over here, I'm not going to use them. This one was the one which is acceptable. The python is going around you and then it steadily started squeezing. And it squeezes all the breath out of you till you finally die. And this spirit of divination was doing exactly the same with this girl as well. It was also squeezing everything out of her because she was not doing godly things. She was doing ungodly things. And that spirit of python was stealing from her. And the spirit of python is also stealing in our lives. It's happening with us as well. And it's happening steadily. That the python, the snake, is around us and he starts squeezing. And then we are experiencing it. We're not so much interested in reading the Bible and praying anymore. You know what? It's beautiful weather. I'm not going to church today. Small group, no, then I've got to get back on the bicycle again, and it is too late in the evenings. Raising the hand with worship, no, it's not necessary. Listen to gospel music, no, there's other music which is much better. Giving tithes, is it really necessary to give tithes? Spending time with God, you know what, in the morning I'm in such a rush, in such a hurry, I can't spend time with God. And we're watching the wrong movies, we're listening to the ungodly music, we've got bad friends. And that's actually what's happening. It's where the spirit of Python is around us and he's steadily squeezing us. And we're not doing what God wants us to do. And that is where we cannot if we are not doing what God wants us to do, if we are not reading the Bible, if we're not praying, if we're not coming together as a congregation, if we do not start with worship every year, if we do not pray, if we do not pray intercede beforehand, if we're not switching on gospel music and listen to music, if we do not stand up in the morning and start the day with God, like I said last week as well, if we do not start the day with God, then the rest of the day God is going to be lost anyway as well. So we've got to start with God. If we're not doing those type of things, we're not creating the atmosphere that God's presence is going to be experienced. And that's what's going to happen. And that's what the enemy actually wants. He wants to squeeze that life out of us, that we're not going to experience the presence of God, because the presence of God, that's where we're looking for. Because if we're going to heaven, we're going to be with God forever and ever. And that's where we're looking for. That's where we're forward looking to. But today it's not about the devil. We're talking about God, because God is greater, much bigger than what the devil is. And we're going to focus what God wants us actually to do. That God wants us that we should create a spiritual atmosphere around us where we can experience the presence of God. After it happened that they've chased out the spirit of divination, that girl couldn't earn any income anymore for the owners. The owners started talking, they started screaming, they started shouting, they got, let's call it the police, they came and they arrested for Paul and Silas. And then Paul and Silas went into jail. But what did they do over there at midnight? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosened. What are they doing in prison? They're creating an atmosphere for the presence of God, because they're singing and they're praying. They couldn't do anything more. They most probably couldn't lift their hands because the chains were holding them back. They most probably couldn't speak to the other people. They were maybe too far away. But they were singing and praying, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So they created an atmosphere, and then God came. Then the presence of God. Then God moved in over there, and he came with an earthquake. Now, if we think about an earthquake, that all the doors are going to open up, it's simply impossible. I can tell you there will always be one door which is still closed, or there will be somebody dead or anything like that. But if you read what's written over here, that all the doors were opened and everyone's chains was loosened. And the earthquake cannot open actually all the doors. The earthquake cannot open all the chains. It's impossible. But with God, it's possible. It's part of it. It's just showing how big he is, and it can be done. And I feel that God wants to do it this afternoon as well, that he wants to open up doors for us, and that he wants to loosen chains of people who are bound by chains at the moment. How can we create then a spiritual atmosphere around us where we can experience the presence of God? Paul and Silas are showing it to us if we're going to go praying and singing. And then the atmosphere was created over there. And then God came in. We've got to read the Bible. We've got to be intimate with God as well. We've got to spend time with God. We've got to communicate with God. We've got to be consistent. We cannot say, okay, now I've got a little bit of a problem, and now I need God because he's got to do a few things for me, and then once it's sorted out, then I can move him one side and I can carry on again. No. A relationship is continuously, you've got to be consistent with that. And we've got to go to church. Gatherings, what we've got over here. Go to small groups where together you also can praise God, where you also can create the atmosphere that the presence of God can be experienced over there. And yes, maybe the enemy is telling you that you've got to stay at home. But if the enemy is telling you to stay at home, please come. Because God has got a message for you then. Then you must come. Then you must know. If the enemy is telling you must stay, then you must jump up and you must come. Because God has got a message for you. And we also have got to connect with the right friends and not with bad friends. If we're mixing with people who are, if we are with bad friends in a bad atmosphere, it's very difficult to create the atmosphere where God is going to pitch up, where God is going to show up over there. We've got to be humble. We cannot chase God around. We've got to go on our knees and ask for God and communicate with God. And there are some godly things what we can do. If we do godly things, then we are going to create that atmosphere that we can experience the presence of God. If we are going to have a holiness, a purity, a praise, a worship, a prayer, a love, and unity, that's what God loves. That's where he wants to be. That's where he is going to show his presence. And like today where we were celebrating, because this is a celebration service, but that we also could celebrate along with our son, that he could be baptized today, that he could be obedient to what God has been saying to him today, then we are creating an atmosphere that God wants to be over here. In Galatians 5:22, then the fruit of the Spirit, where it says the Holy Spirit produces the fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against it. These are the things which are attracting, which are creating that atmosphere that God wants to be over there. Yes, it is a result of having that relationship with God, but this is where God is looking for. That's going to help with the relationship with God. But if we do ungodly things, if we are going to mix ourselves in an atmosphere where there's lust, drunkenness, anger, talking down, and hatred, that is going to attract demonic habits and of demonic spirits. They are going to be attracted to those places, and we've got to stay away from that. I'm just going to touch a few points which is maybe helping us, that we can set the atmosphere, that we can create the atmosphere for God's presence. Last week, I've asked you people to, those who were here, here, that you had to speak to each other, and where you had to say, yes, we must seek God's face, we must seek his presence. And all of us said it, that we've got to do it, we've got to seek God's face. But if we want to seek God's face and we want to seek his presence, then we must also create the atmosphere over there. We cannot quickly in the morning say, God, 5 minutes, 5 to 7 to 7, that's all time I've got for you today, and then you must show up, then you must tell me what I must do the rest of the day. God doesn't work like that. We've got to spend more time with him. I've got at the final end, I've got something like 12 points. It's not to say they're all correct. I grabbed them from different places, but it's just to that we can think about it and we can say, okay, but what can I do in my personal circumstances? What can we do in a small group? And what can we do in a church that we create the atmosphere that we can experience God's presence? Because God wants to be with us. The first one is that we've got to cultivate an awareness of our desperate need for God's presence. We must be aware of it. This is where we're looking for. We're looking for God's presence, for God in the Holy Spirit, that he is going to be present over here. Second one is that we are going to eagerly anticipate his unveiled presence, that we're looking forward to it, that we are waiting for it, that we are going to anticipate it, that we are coming with an expectation that God is going to show up over here. We also have got to thank God for the promised presence, for his promised presence, more than we are going to ask him continuously. So yes, it is continuously has got to be a thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, what you've shown yourself. Thank you, what you've guided me. Thank you that I could experience your presence. That we continuously say, thank you, but that we not say, Lord, please pitch up. Lord, please show your presence. Lord, please do this. No, let's thank him. That is very important. We also have got to be man-centered. We have got to break from a man-centered focus to a God-centered focus. So it's not about what is there in for me, what can I get out of it, but what is God's will? What was God wants to get out of it? What is it what he wants us that we should do? And then we must allow Jesus also to set our agenda, and not the watch, and not our culture, and that we show it to God and say, God, what do you want us to do? So not a matter of, okay, in our culture we do this and this and this. No, ask God, what do you want us that we should be doing? We can't do everything. So we've got to ask God, what do you want me to do? That we specify, that we as a congregation as well, we can try to do a lot of things, but we've got to do what God is telling us to do. That's why we pray on a Tuesday as well with the intercession, that we can hear what God is saying us to do. Where do we have to focus on? What is important? What is the season what God is moving in with us at the moment? And as what Maureen all mentioned over there, we've got to duplicate the atmosphere of heaven. That's our sample. We've got to take a look and see what is written in the Bible, what is happening over there in heaven, and we've got to duplicate it over here. Because that's where the presence of God is. There we can see how they act and what they're doing in the presence of God. Revelation 19 verses 1 says, and all these things I heard, after all these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. That we can say that to God, that we can speak it out to God, that we can say glory to you, honor to you, power to you. It all belongs to you, Lord, our God. And you can imagine, let's say if all the Christians in Utrecht were going to live it out, that we're going to say each and every day, salvation and glory and honor and power belongs to the Lord our God, and we're really involved with it and creating the atmosphere for God, we're going to get a revival in Utrecht. We will have a change over here in Utrecht because the whole mindset is different. It's not, Lord, I'm working, I haven't got time, but Lord, you're first, you're always first in my life. Make every possible effort to restore honor unto God. We've been created to honor God. We've been created to glorify God. And that's what we've got to do. So each and every time when we get an opportunity for that, that we can say that, that we can testify about it, what God is doing in our lives. Respond humbly to the Spirit's prompting. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, react on it. Do what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. It was at a certain time at the School of Supernatural that me and Rene were over there, and the pastor was speaking. He said, he did an altar call for if anyone wants to get involved into the fivefold ministry. And I was praying and I said, Lord, maybe you've asked me before. And if you've asked me before, then I repent of it that I didn't listen to your call. And I'm asking for forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. And as I said, amen, the pastor said, God is calling you. And it was like, okay, that one was for me. Most probably in my life before that God has called me. That not that I can remember it. But then when he called, I immediately reacted. And as a result of that, we are over here as well. We cannot manufacture God's active presence. We cannot say, if we're going to sing two songs of Bethel and we pray that God's presence is over there, it simply doesn't work. Or any other song. It is not. We cannot manufacture it. We can only come humbly. So we cannot quickly manufacture through the atmosphere that we are creating, that we say, okay, if we do this and this, and God is going to pitch, then we will experience God's presence. No. It's just a privilege that we can experience that. We also cannot market it. We cannot say, please come to Shofar Utrecht on a Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, then you're going to experience God's presence, and have it on big logos and put it on Facebook and things like that. We can't. It's such a privilege that if we can experience God's presence over here, it's awesome. And we don't want to minimize God's active presence. We must always be open for God's presence to come, that we don't minimize it. God is big. He's awesome. He's great. And he wants to spend time with us. The creator of heaven and earth, who made everything, He made the atmosphere, everything. He made us that we can breathe. He wants to spend time with us. Everyone likes to talk about the presence of God, but so few are actually willing to do what it requires to change the atmosphere and to experience and see the presence of God. I'm going to repeat it again. Everybody likes to talk about the presence of God, but so few are actually willing to do what it requires to change the atmosphere and experience and see the presence of God. Those 12 that I just now mentioned, it's not to say then you will experience the presence of God. It's just helping us a little bit that if we spend time with God, He's going to spend time with us. For sure. I want to conclude. God created the universe, the atmosphere. He created the air that we can breathe and that we also can live. But also God also created the spiritual atmosphere, and where we can invite Him, and where we also can experience full life with God. And God is reminding us this afternoon that the spiritual breath, the enemy is trying to steal from us. He's trying to squeeze it out of us. That we're not seeking the presence of God because we're not creating the atmosphere for the presence of God, because we've got other excuses. We're not doing what God is asking us to do. And as God moved with Paul and Silas by opening the doors and releasing the chains, God wants to open doors for us as well. And He also wants to release us, that we can move and that we can do and that we can go where God wants us to go. And by being together, by praying and singing, we are creating the atmosphere for God to move. But we're also creating the atmosphere that if the spirit of Python wants to steal, to kill and destroy, that we can say, your time is over. You're not going to squeeze any longer life out of us, breath out of us. It's finished. It's over now. We've got the authority to handle it. Because we serve a God which is much bigger as what the enemy wants to do and what that spirit of Python wants to do. And this afternoon, as what we came together over here, we created that atmosphere. We created the atmosphere that God's presence could be used over here. But we do not want to limit it only to a Sunday afternoon over here. We wanted that it's going to happen to the places where we're working as well, where we're studying and in the street, that it can be at all those different places. And as I was preparing for this sermon, I felt that, as I was mentioning the different items, that some of us are battling with it, that we feel that when I was talking about that spirit of Python, that you could say, yes, I can associate with it. I can understand it. I'm getting that feeling. It's difficult for me sometimes to stand up in the morning, to spend time with God, to pray, to come to small group, to come to a sermon, to read the Bible, to be intimate with God. I'm battling with that. Please stand. Heavenly Father, you've given us breath that we live. But Father, we also know that for that spiritual life, that breath what we've got, that the enemy is trying to steal it from us. He's trying to kill us. He's trying to squeeze it out of us, that breath that we cannot live, and that we cannot be, and that we cannot do what you want us to do. And Father, we thank you that you've given us authority as well, that we can handle it, and that we can, this afternoon as well, to the spirit of Python, that you can say, but your time is over. You're not going to make quiet in us. We're going to speak. We're going to celebrate. We're going to come together. We're going to create the atmosphere that we can expect, that we can experience the presence of God. And I'm going to ask you, in the week to come, create the atmosphere and come with an expectance, with an expectancy that God is going to be present over there, that you're going to experience the presence of God, because there's nothing more beautiful than that, to experience the presence of God, because this is where we're going to go. We're going to go into heaven, and there we're going to be with the Father forever and ever. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.